Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi atop the press box at MTS Center. I'm your host of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game podcast, Michael Remus, filling in for Drew Mindell.
You sound just like him, though.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was my Drew impression.
Yeah.
I'm standing here with Richard Pollock. The Winnipeg Jets just defeated the St. Louis Blues in a shootout, 4-3. And wow, you know, what a game. I mean, the Jets came off the last game where against Montreal where they got... wasn't a great game. I mean, the last few games have been great. The Dallas game. I mean, their only bright spot so far was beating a winless New Jersey team.
Yeah.
Coming to this game against a division rival, a few lineup changes. Setoguchi out, Cormier in, Tangredi out. Hallstrom is it back still?
Peluso.
Yeah. And Paul Postma and Grant Clutson back in. And the Jets, I thought, they emphasized so much about a good start. Because the start of the last game was so poor, and I thought they did just that. And they came out with some energy.
Yeah, they played a lot better than they had last game. I'm not sure that's that difficult because the Jets looked pretty poor against Montreal. But they definitely came with more energy. There's more energy in the building when the team plays well. The fans feed off of it, and I thought that the Jets overall played a better game. Do I think they deserve to win the game? Probably not. Based on the four posts that St. Louis hit in the first period, but against a team that's better than the Jets are, you take the win, obviously 100 out of 100 times. And the Jets, obviously, which we'll talk about in a second, had a really nice late run because midway through the third, it was just St. Louis's game. They were dominating. They had them where they wanted them. They're a team that closes, and I personally think that back-to-back game against Chicago last night, and that went to overtime, and that went to a shootout. We'll talk about that last goal, but I think that was a huge factor there.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yesterday's game in Chicago, they went, as you said, they went to a shootout, overtime, and then a shootout. So
it's a great game, and I watched it, and that was an emotional game, too. A big win for St. Louis, and against the team that they're really competing with. So this was that quote-unquote letdown game, and even then, St. Louis had the lead. You have to give the Jets credit, because coming back against a team like St. Louis is extremely difficult. And I didn't think they were going to do it, and they did it, and they got that win.
Well, let's go to the scoring summary.
Sure.
First goal, Grant Clutson is in the corner with the puck, and he falls. Gives the puck up to TJ Oshie, who passes it to David Backes, wide open in front of the net, who puts it past Pavlik.
Yeah, what are you going to do? That's just, it was an awful turnover, and I think it was Slater coming back on Backes, but who can expect that play? So, maybe you can't really get on him. It's just Klitsam's error. Klitsam bobbles the puck, which he did all night. He was brutal tonight, turned the puck over a ton. Unforced errors, too. That play was an unforced error. And then, the play, Oshie back is boom, back on the net. And what are you going to do? It's not Pavlik's fault there, and that's just a fluke.
And, then we'll get to this on the second St. Louis goal. But, against a team that's so good like St. Louis, you can't make these mistakes that basically just give them the puck for free because they'll take advantage of it. But, I thought the crowd was really into it until that point. Then it kind of took the wind out of the crowd, and it was very silent. It was like, oh, is this going to be another one of those games?
That's exactly right.
But they got back into it. You got to get these dirty goals. Hallstrom dumps the puck in right on Brian Elliott from the blue line, which is basically where the Jets have been taking all their shots the last few games in this homestand. But, the puck bounces up in the air, and Jokinen bats it in, and it knuckles past Brian Elliott, who, swipes at it with his glove and can't get a hold of it.
Yeah, Elliott, I thought, was pretty bad tonight. I know he hasn't played a lot, and I know Halak's the number one there, but rebounds everywhere. And that was another example. And Jokinen goes to net, gets a knuckleballer, and it goes in, so you'll take it. Lucky goal. But, if you're the Jets fans too, you're going to say, well, Klitsam falling and the puck getting in front is a lucky goal too, which it is, really. So it goes both ways. And, the scoring chances tonight really didn't result in any goals. It was kind of all these other fluke plays that resulted in the tallies.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought the Jets had most of their scoring chances actually in the third period. I know Wheeler and Little had a few when they were down. They had those rushes driving to the front of the net.
Right.
And that was when the Jets really, I thought, had poured it on it in the third. And they did deserve to come back. But the goals that they did score, we're not the prettiest. They scored on the fluke chances, but couldn't score on the good scoring chances. And going back to the first period scoring summary, there's 18-14 into it, so a little less than 2 minutes left. Jacob Trouba has the puck in his own end, fans on it, and it goes right to Alex Steen, who snaps it by Pavlik. And I mentioned this to you during the game, that it seemed like a lot of Jets, a number of Jets, Bogosian, Wheeler, Klitsam. Truba, Klitsam. Well, they would go to they would go to pass the puck and just completely whiff on it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a confidence thing, if that's an ice thing. Something to look into, something to watch for, but it can't keep happening because, I mean, you can't turn it over. St. Louis is a really good team, but if you do that against like a crazy transition team with speed like Chicago, you know, see you later, Detroit. St. Louis isn't going to kill you all the time in transition. They have some lines that will, some lines that won't. But they're not one of those all-around teams that's just going to kill you with skill. So you have to be able to manage the puck. You know, that's what that's the catchphrase these days, manage the puck. That just means don't turn it over. Don't turn it over in stupid situations.
One thing that's worth noting, the first period, Evander Kane got a penalty for elbowing, so that was his would have been his fourth penalty in the last two games. He had three last game. And then into the second period, 3:53 in, he got a high-sticking penalty. So that's his fifth penalty in about five periods. So Coach Noel sat him down for about 10 minutes there.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, he still was leading the forwards, I think, in ice time after the second or close to it. So, but yeah, the example needed to be made. I mean, at some point, you got to stop taking minor penalties, five minor penalties, stupid penalties for the most part, if not all of them. But, you know, it's something that I thought Noel, you know, Noel made some healthy scratches. I didn't think, we'll talk about that on tomorrow's morning show, tomorrow afternoon show. I didn't think that was the biggest deal. Sitting down Kane, I thought was a big deal and necessary. And I'm not sure exactly how much time. It's hard to see, you know, if we're watching on TV. And then the other thing was, you know, made some calls later on that we thought were interesting. So I think Noel kind of made this was confident, I thought, in his choices today, which I think is probably a good thing. I think Gary wrote about that this morning.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that later when we discuss the shooter. But going to ice time, Evander Kane at 20:33 in comparison to Andrew Ladd, 20:19.
That's right, and he sat for that period of time.
Yeah, and Brian Little led the forwards in ice time, 21:59. And we got to touch on the other major event that happened in the second period. Jacob Trouba, you know, is forechecking in the offensive zone, goes in the corner, and I think it appeared that he went for the hit and then slipped it and just went face first into the boards, and it was extremely ugly. It was very, very terrifying. We hadn't really seen that ever here at MTS Energy in game. It was so quiet. I mean, you had never heard it ever here that quiet for that long, and he got carried out on a stretcher for obviously precautionary reasons, but we heard when he got back to the hospital, you know, he was moving everything, and he was talking, and he gave the thumbs up as he left the ice, which was, you know, a positive thing to see.
Yeah, the fans were very supportive. It's terrible. Scary to see. You're exactly right, Michael. It's, you know, the hearing a pin drop is not something that you really want to hear in a massive arena of 15,000 people. And you know, he goes in for kind of a hit, and he just falls, loses his balance, kind of goes face first slash neck first, and it gets snapped back, and it was scary. And you know, it's like you watch the replay once, you don't want to see it again.
Yeah, they never showed the replay on the Jumbotron MTS Center. They just showed a crowd reaction shots, which got kind of awkward, and then they went to the logos. But on TSN, they did show it. They showed it a few times
and you have to if you're doing the game.
Yeah, if you're doing the game, you have to. But it was. I mean, hopefully he comes back soon, but it looks like he'll, you know, likely be out for at least 2 weeks, depending on what the injury is.
Yeah, you never know. And I mean, best case scenario, you'd probably say it's a concussion, right?
Yeah, I would
probably say your best case right now.
Only a concussion. Yeah, I would say. So hopefully
he's better.
He returns too. So that was the Jets were down, you know, they were down to five defensemen at that point, and then later on in the game, Mark Stewart goes to dive to block a pass. He falls into the goalpost.
He kind of turned that puck over earlier. It was running all over the place. That wasn't his best shift, but as you mentioned, he dives to stop the play because he's he'll sacrifice his body to do anything for the team. And he slides into that, which helped them, because that might have even turned into a goal even.
Yeah.
But then Stewart was hurt, and I think he came back to the bench. I'm not sure if he got back on the ice, but then he was out for the night.
Yeah, so no scoring in the second period. Into the third period, that's where the Blues turned it up. 3 minutes in, there's a great passing play with Backes and Bomeister. Steen gets the puck in front of the net, you know, wide open for his second goal of the night.
Two things here. I'm not sure if you have the D who are on the ice. I know Bogosian was on. I'm not sure if the other one was. We haven't got the game sheet here. But the Blues just went to the net there. They controlled the puck, as you mentioned. They passed the puck nicely. But the key, Michael, is they went to the net. Two guys in front of the net. You watch the replay. Two guys parked right in front of the net. And the Jets didn't clear out the front of the net. And I believe it was Bogosian's guy, but it might have been his partner. There's only four guys playing at that point, right? So, and then it was, and that was it. You thought, okay, you know, St. Louis gets a two-goal lead. It's a pretty simple goal. Pavlik lets the rebound out, hopes it gets cleared, doesn't get cleared. And 3-1, and they're in trouble. And it seemed like that really until the Jets got number two.
Yeah, they got number two, 3:13 into the third period, so about, just under 8 minutes to go. Evander Kane has the puck in the offensive zone, takes a slap shot. We talk about how we don't really think he has. I mean, his wrist shot is much better than his slap shot, but it hits the defenseman and
hits. Well, let's talk about that. Roman Polak has the puck at the blue line, coming out of his own zone, makes a bad pass to Adam Cracknell, hits the back of Adam Cracknell's skate. The puck pops back into the zone. The puck moves its way over to Evander Kane. Eventually, Evander Kane takes a slap shot. The slap shot goes off of Roman Polak, who turned the puck over in the first place and goes in. So, not Roman Polak's finest moment, I'd say.
Yeah, and another one that. I mean, you can't really blame Elliott there, but I mean, these Jets are getting these gritty goals off of these, fluke plays.
And then and Little, give Little credit. We talked about St. Louis going to the net. Well, what does Little do there? Goes to the net, causes havoc. Polak tries to block him out, hits his stick, goes in.
Yeah, I thought Little's had, since the game where he just got dominated in the faceoff circle against Minnesota, he's really, he said, I have to be better, Mazurek. And I thought that he has been one of the better Jets of the last few games. He's, improved his faceoff numbers, and he led the forwards.
Playing hard.
And ice time he's been playing around. I thought he's been pretty good for the Jets. But, I mean, there's 2 minutes left in the game. I mean, the Jets had control. They had opportunities. You got Enstrom, Buffon, and Wheeler. They made a great passing play to get Enstrom on the right side, and he rips the slapper.
He doesn't have the best shot in the world, but his shot isn't awful. And he had a nice shot there, and it went in. And the key there, I thought Buffon, that pass was the key, this cross-seam pass. But Buffon, I thought, had a really good game overall. He was the first star tonight, but he controlled the puck. I thought he picked his spots quite well. He played, I think, over 31 minutes, I believe, is what he played. So he led the team in ice time, and I'm not sure what St. Louis's ice time was, but he certainly led his own team in ice time. And he was great. I thought he played within himself a little bit more and had a couple of chances and was engaged. I thought, from St. Louis's perspective, that's Alexander Steen's line got caught. And they were exhausted. They were exhausted probably from playing last night and probably from playing a lot tonight. And you could tell on that shift that they had nothing. You could actually tell maybe a couple minutes earlier that they were tiring. They got locked down in the zone in that shift, and the Jets took advantage. They moved the puck around. And when you move the puck around against a tired team, they just get stagnant. And the Jets pick spots, gets over to Enstrom, puck goes in the net, place goes crazy, and you get a point.
So, yeah, it went to overtime, and I thought the overtime was incredible. I thought the Jets actually had most of the chances in the overtime. That's probably, a result of the fatigue from St. Louis.
And, you had that chance on the power play there with 40 seconds on the power play, and that wasn't the most impressive power play display. Probably want to practice that a bit.
Yep. So I was going to say, they only had 40 seconds.
But, the quality of chances wasn't great, right? Like, 4-on-3 power plays is as good as you're going to get.
Right.
Right? You have so much room out there, but... that's nitpicking. I thought the Jets for the last 10 minutes of the third and overtime overall, I thought carried the play.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And so they go to the shoot, and I have to say this. I mean, I can't believe that they only do 5 minutes for overtime.
Oh,
that was probably the best quality hockey we saw all game. It was back and forth. There were scoring chances.
Or why not 3-on-3? How good would 3-on-3 be?
Yeah, why not play for another 5 minutes?
I mean, the shootout's garbage, right? It's just a waste of time. I think Anthony Peluso shot the shootout tonight, so how seriously can we take it? how seriously can we take it?
We'll get to that right now. I mean, the Jets, we were debating who should their shooters be. I mean, Ladlo Wheeler took the bulk of the shots last season for the Jets, so Wheeler was first, misses. Pavlik lets in the goal, and then Ladd goes, he scores.
And then shot.
And then Pavlik makes the save, and then Ladd goes, and he scores.
Little, you mean?
Sorry, Little goes. Yeah.
Or is that the opposite way? I forget.
We don't have the game sheet. I mean,
right, yeah.
it would be nice, but we don't have it. And so either way, it went to an extended shootout, and the Jets were throwing out shooters, and we were thinking, who are they going to pick? I thought Scheifele should go. He's your second-line center. He's being counted on to be producing an offensive role. And then they threw out as the fourth shooter, Anthony Peluso. And when we were in the press box, honestly, I got a text, is this a joke?
Is he the fourth shooter?
We were laughing.
Is it for a leak?
No, yeah, for a leak, and Jokinen went after
him. That's right, yeah.
I mean, this guy is an enforcer. He's barely played. He's probably played like...
Apparently he's good in practice, but I'm with you on that. I mean, one thing I like about that is Claude Noel is saying, hey, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care, because if they lose this game, that Peluso thing is rampant.
Yeah, blowing out of proportion. There's going to be so many articles.
Today, I mean, they win. Nobody will hear about it today. You never hear about it again.
Yeah, no, I think it's media members. Why? I think you have to ask him.
I agree with that.
Why you would do that? I mean, he's not known for his offensive ability. I was fully expecting him to pull a Merrick Malik and go through the legs.
The problem was he probably was nervous too, even if he is good. And like it wasn't, you know, he looked kind of a little bit.
Of course, he's probably never shot. There. He's never shot an NHL shooter. He's probably never shot an AHL shooter. He was he's known as a guy who throws his weight.
Fair point.
And as an enforcer, I mean, if you're going to be. It seems he's being stubborn and saying, hey, I'm not going to put Colin Scheifele because he's just a rookie and maybe he doesn't, you know, he's not up for shooting the chill. But you're calling on a guy who's never shot. I mean, if they would have went with Frolik or Jokinen, you can say, hey, these guys are veterans. They've been there before. I mean, we're nitpicking on the shooter here, but it was just so...
It bothered you more than it bothered me. I kind of thought it was funny, but I thought it was ballsy.
Yeah, I just... It seems... I mean, it's...
It's kind of an F you.
Yeah, it was, I don't know.
FU hockey.
It seems very, I mean, that's going back to what Evander Kane said before the game, but it was just so odd. I thought, we've never seen that before.
Yeah, so usually it's at shooter 20, not shooter 4, yeah, whatever it was.
Shooter 4.
But in any event, hey, made it more entertaining. What a great game overall. Yeah, Jets get 2 points against a division rival, and you're going to take it and run.
Yeah, the crowd was great,
awesome,
too.
Yeah.
It was a very exciting hockey. It was the best game of this season so far at MTS Center. And they're going to do it again on Sunday against the division rival Nashville Predators. That still feels weird to say. I'm not quite used to the Central Division? Who knows what the new names are anyway. Anyways, but that's it for the Eagle Curve postgame podcast. I'm Michael Remus here for Richard Pollock and Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg of Legal Curve. We'll be on the Legal Curve hockey show tomorrow from 12 to 3. That's Saturday, noon to 3 on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. So thank you for listening and good night and good luck. And be sure to check out illegalcurve.com for all the Winnipeg Jets postgame content. Thanks again.